Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Speak Truth Podcast. I'm your host, Blake Gideon, and I've got Ashton Wright with me today.
Yep. Excited. We got a lot to get into.
Yep, we do. Now, we're going to switch gears a little bit today. We have been doing, started last week doing a podcast on Bible lingo, but there's a lot that's happened since then. And So we're going to hijack today's podcast, and we're going to address some issues that are happening globally, mm-hmm. and other issues that are taking place here in our own state.
Yep, okay? In our own community.
So, yep. Yep. So primarily three things we're going to discuss. We're going to discuss the attacks upon Israel. We're going to discuss, how should a Christian vote? What are some things you should be looking at and praying through as you prepare for this year's election? And then also we're going to talk about our state superintendent, Ryan Walters, here in Oklahoma, is making a push, which is legal under Oklahoma law, to get Bibles back in school. And there's been a lot of yaying going back and forth. And so we're going to talk about those three things today. So let's jump in, Ashton, and let's talk about, primarily our goal today is not to get into necessarily deep theology. We're just going to talk about primarily about the civic responsibility and actions and so forth from that perspective. So you'll kind of
figure it out. Very practical.
Very practical. And so forth, because, when you're dealing with theology, there's different theological understandings about Israel and so forth. So we're going to talk about Israel from the perspective of being an ally of the United States.
Right.
Okay. So, Ashton, I'll put you on the spot. So we had Israel, who was attacked by Hamas. Mm-hmm. Palestine, and now we have Israel being attacked by Iran. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so they're being attacked on different fronts. Mm-hmm. Okay, from you might say they're being attacked in the front door and they're being attacked in the back door. What do you personally feel like? What type of responsibility does America have concerning our relationship to Israel?
Yeah, I think as our allies, we have a responsibility to support them and support them in the fact that they have the right to defend themselves.
Right.
Right? To defend themselves. And so we should support them as they seek to do so, just as we would desire them to do the same for us if we were being attacked.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, so I know the United States, they have provided Israel with some assets to help them to defend themselves. But now it's escalating. And what we see happening in the Middle East is escalating.
Yeah.
And as an ally, America has a responsibility to help Israel defend themselves against these attacks.
Yeah.
So you hear a lot of people saying, I stand with Israel. First of all, I do too. Mm-hmm. Okay, I do too. But I stand with Israel as an ally, as an ally of the United States.
Yeah.
Not because God has a special covenant with them outside of the church.
Right.
Right? So my issue of standing with Israel is the fact that they are an ally of the United States, and we have a responsibility to help them protect and defend themselves against foreign attacks, foreign invasion, whatever it may be. Yes, I can look in the Old Testament and I can see that the nation of Israel was a chosen people of God. And the church today is the extension or the fulfillment of Old Testament Israel. And so the people of God today are the church. If anybody's, no one comes to the Father but through the Son. And so in order for a Jew to be saved, they must come to faith in Christ.
Right.
So I'm not standing with Israel because they have some special covenant with God that's different from the church. Right. No. I'm standing with Israel because they have a right to defend themselves, and they are allies with the United States. And for that reason, I stand with them.
Right.
Okay.
And just real quick too, and we also by supporting Israel as they defend themselves, we also are standing against the injustices of these countries attacking Israel.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? So if that's our, you know, to your point, is that that's also our biblical responsibility to establish justice.
Yeah.
And, you know, and defend the defenseless and you know. And so anyway, so it's both, you know.
And I would just challenge people who say, I stand with Israel, I'm praying for Israel. That's great. I don't want in any way discourage that. But I would also encourage you to pray for the persecuted church.
Right.
And right. to stand with the persecuted church.
Amen.
Okay, because the church
mm-hmm.
is the people of God. Neither
right.
Jew nor Gentile.
Right.
We're all one in Christ.
Right.
Okay? So we stand with Israel as allies of the United States, not because they're a special class of people.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Another thing I want to talk about today, since we're on a more global perspective,
mm-hmm.
we're coming up on the election for... the president, the next president of the United States. Last night was the debate
mm-hmm.
Between the vice presidents.
Mm-hmm.
Did you? I did.
I watched a little bit of it. I will say this. It was surprisingly a debate.
Well, that's
isn't that such a,
yeah.
That seems like a, well, no duh, but I mean, they actually had a debate. They
yeah.
exchanged back and forth. So, I mean,
that's one of the concerns that I've had here recently is this younger generation. I can remember growing up and seeing debates and seeing like Ronald Reagan
mm-hmm.
and others debate. And it was a true debate.
Yeah.
And they talked about the issues. They offered their solutions and their plans. And last night, young people got a, if they watched it, young people mm-hmm. got a good example of what a debate should look
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I agree.
Sadly, if they look at the presidential debates, it's more like a gong show.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. I mean, you're right.
Yeah, it's more like a reality TV show
yeah.
than it is a true presidential debate.
Yeah.
So I've been a little bit concerned about that, but I was pleased with the way the debate went. I wasn't. That's not saying that I'm pleased with everything they said.
Right, right. You're
but
just
it,
saying as far as they were cordial and
they were cordial,
logical and rational. Actually
they talked
had to,
about the issues.
Yes,
they gave,
yeah.
They
the,
gave
the format of the debate.
Yeah.
So
without telling you who to vote for or telling you who, you know, any of that, there are some things I want to share with you that I think you should consider of a presidential candidate before you go to the polls. And so I've written down several things here. They're all supported with Scripture,
mm-hmm.
and we're just going to talk through them. Now, the first thing I have on my list here is you ought to look at the character and the integrity of the person.
Yep.
Okay? And Proverbs 29:2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice."
Mm-hmm.
Now think
that's
about
a good
that.
Word.
Yeah, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But then he goes on to say, "But when the wicked rule, the people mourn."
Mm.
He goes on to say in verse 4, "The king by judgment establishes the land, but he that receives gifts overthrows it." And then in verse 12, "If a ruler listens to lies, all his servants are wicked."
Mm.
But I really want y'all to think about that first part of that verse. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ought to be looking at the character and the integrity of the person. We ought to be looking at the faith of the person as well. So you got to take that. People have to take that in consideration when they go to the polls.
Yeah.
Is this a person of character and integrity that I can support leading our country?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so character and integrity, and then secondly, you know, the sanctity of human life.
Mm.
What do they believe about abortion? What do they believe about stem cell research and using human embryos? Because the psalmist says in Psalms 139, verse 13, for you formed my inward parts. Mm. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. And so, you know, being the truth is that life begins at conception. And so when you ought to know where a person stands on those issues, the use of stem cell research in human embryos, abortion, you know, a new topic of IVF and these different things, you need to know where the candidates stand on these issues. When they say they believe in the sanctity of human life, does their voting record prove that?
Right. Yeah. What do their actions say?
You know, these things are not hard to find out. You know, if you got a candidate who's pro-abortion, and then you have one who's, you know, pro-life. That's our options. You got pro-abortion, and you know, you got pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's an issue for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to vote for the person who's going to protect the innocent and the vulnerable and the oppressed.
Yeah.
I'm going to vote for the person who believes that abortion is murder and ought to be outlawed and criminalized, and that there ought to be equal justice and protection for every human being, whether they're born or unborn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you do when you have two candidates that appear to have loosened the purse strings, if you will, on abortion? They you know, Donald Trump being one example. You know, Kamala has been pro-abortion.
Yeah.
But now you got Donald Trump who's weakening his stance on abortion in order to gain votes.
Yep.
Well, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but you need to take those things in consideration.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I've tried to do is to somehow make contact with Donald Trump. I don't know if it's been effective or not. Mm. And to encourage him to stand strong and to strengthen his stance. I would love to vote for a candidate who believes that all abortions are wicked and evil.
Yeah.
But right now we don't have such a candidate.
Nope.
But so character and integrity, the sanctity of human life, and then what do they believe about same-sex marriage and civil unions among same-sex couples?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to vote for someone who believes that same-sex marriage and civil unions of same-sex couples is okay with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's an abomination.
Right.
So Leviticus 18:22, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. I mean, the Word of God's clear. It even says it's an abomination. Yep. If a man lays down with another man, or if a woman lays down with another woman, it's an abomination.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to vote for someone who upholds the freedom of religious speech or the freedom of speech.
Yeah.
You know, we're seeing a lot of toggling, if you will, toggling down, if you will, of speech.
Yeah.
Well, it was just a few years ago that even Donald Trump was censored on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. Removed from Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Censored from both.
Censored from both.
Yep.
Since Elon Musk has taken over Twitter, it's been better, but nevertheless, there's still people who who have their tweets taken down or their account.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. It gets banned or blocked or whatever, and or their posts get, you know, as they're posting about certain topics, all of a sudden the algorithm you know, no longer shows it to people, so you can't see what they're putting. Yeah. They try to suppress it, what you're saying earlier, suppress it that way. I mean, and that's the fact checking.
Yep.
Remember, you know, when Facebook was doing that big time, you know, fact checking everything. I mean, so your point is the suppression of.
Yeah, suppression of speech.
Yeah, of speech.
Acts 4, so they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John answered whether it was right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God. No, we're to listen to God rather than man. And so you want to vote for someone who's going to protect our religious freedoms and not try to suppress that.
Yep.
You know, racial equality is another thing that we need to look at. Why? Because all people are created in God's image.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we want there to be racial equality. The Bible says in Acts 17:26, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth. Revelation 5, in your blood you ransom people from every tribe and language and people and nation. And so God loves people from every tribe, every language, every nation. Okay? And so, of course, we ought to be promoting and voting for people who uphold racial equality. Now, down on my list is, you know, I mean, it's important, but we ought to be thinking about national security.
Yeah.
Why? Because it is a biblical issue.
Yeah.
Let me give you a verse, Nehemiah 4, verses 8 through 9. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And we prayed to God and set a guard as protection against them night and day. So we see in the Bible that it was the will of God for these nations to defend themselves. Okay, for the nation of Israel, we just talked about.
Yeah, exactly.
It is the will of God for the nation of Israel to defend themselves. And national security ought to be a part of our consideration as we pray through these things. And then the last thing I'm going to share is, you know, taxation and government spending. Nehemiah 5, verses 4 through 5. We have borrowed money for the king's tax on our fields and vineyards, and we are forcing our sons and daughters to be slaves. And some of our daughters have already been enslaved. If we keep going and if we keep, you know, overspending and taxing the people, then we're making the people, just like they did, we're going to make our sons and daughters slaves to what we've done, to our debt, to our taxations. And so we want to vote for someone who believes in reducing government spending and who believes in removing taxation of the people. Okay? So just a reminder, so we're looking at what? Character and integrity. We're looking at where they stand on the sanctity of human life, where they stand on same-sex marriage, where they stand on the freedom of religious speech, racial equality, national security, and taxation and government spending. Okay? So I think you ought to be looking at all those things. You ought to be praying through all those things. And I think these things will help you to make sure that you're considering God, okay?
You cast your vote.
We need to consider God. We need to consider the Word of God when we cast our vote, because it's very important.
Yeah.
All right. So the last thing we're going to talk about today, in the few minutes that we have left, is we're going to talk about Ryan Walters, the state superintendent here in Oklahoma, who is, you know, seeking to get the Bible back into schools. And one of the reasons I want to talk about this is because I got a phone call yesterday from the Oklahoman, which is the state paper here in Oklahoma, and they wanted to interview me on this topic of what do I believe about having Bibles in school. And one of the things that she told me was, they have already run several articles, and they were all against it. And I guess someone called them and said, "Can you please run an article for it?"
Yeah.
And so they called and asked me if I was for it. And I'm like, well, of course I'm for the Bible. I'm for the Bible being everywhere.
Yep.
I'm for the Bible being in the outhouse. I'm for a Bible being in a deer stand. I'm for a Bible being, I mean, good night. And put a Bible in a mosque.
Yeah.
I mean, why would I not want the Word of God everywhere and anywhere?
Yeah.
It's living and active.
Yep.
He's our creator.
Mm-hmm.
We are His creatures.
Yep.
And He has authority over us.
Right.
And His will is that we submit to His authority. And the only way we know what He desires for us to submit to is in His Word.
Yep.
But I don't want to get into the theology of my argument as much as because our audience, the audience who's going to be listening to this is one of their fears is, oh, they're going to be trying to convert everybody, or they're going to be, you know, that's not the issue.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons that Ryan Walters wants the Bible back into school is because the Bible occupies a unique place in not only in our world, but especially in the establishment of Western civilization.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what would you, you know, and this is one of the pushbacks, and I'll ask you your opinion on this. Some people say, oh, you just need to remain neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Neutral. Now, what they really mean by being neutral is being against it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, if you're not for it.
Just stay silent over it.
And the argument that they use for being neutral is that if we allow the Bible in the schools, then we have to allow other books.
Yeah.
Like the Quran, the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
Satanic books. Mm-hmm. Right? They're saying if you allow the Bible, then you have to allow these other books.
Mm-hmm.
And that's simply not the case.
Yeah.
And I'll let you.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to what you just said on how the Bible was used in the forming of our country.
Yeah.
And so it's history. Our government is, and our founding documents are modeled after biblical principles, as seen, you know, clearly like the through the law, you know, in Deuteronomy. And so I think to make that argument with these other books and say, well, the Quran and all these other books, you know, they'll be in there too, I think is a fear tactic. I think that you're comparing two separate, the word, you know, the Bible, which has had such an impact in our country and the forming of our society and Western civilization versus these other books that have no bearing on that.
Yeah. That's right. The reality is they don't hold the same uniqueness that the Bible does to the establishment of Western civilization and of America.
Yeah.
This is a book that was essential to our founding fathers and was used as a guide for our governing documents.
Yeah.
So someone may ask, well, if you put the Bible back in school, how can the Bible be used effectively in that type of environment?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you need to learn about human nature. We teach biology at schools, and the Bible teaches us, it's not a biology book, but it does teach us about human nature.
Yeah.
And man's propensity.
Anthropology, right? Yep, like you're saying.
Right.
The study of man, which is, I mean, they're at school to learn.
Yes.
Right? So the Bible's talking about the study of man, right?
Right.
It talks about man.
It does talk about man and being created in God's image and so forth.
Male and female, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But then you also have like, you know, you teach civics.
Yep.
Well, the Bible upholds civic virtue.
Yeah.
It absolutely teaches us how a citizen ought to live, and you know there's sociology.
Yep.
Well, the Bible actually upholds a social order. It tells us how things ought to be ordered and how we ought to live within that order. The Bible also speaks about political authority. And other concepts that are essential to the establishment of a political society. Now, the Bible, many believe, provided instructions, and I'm going to read this, on the characteristics of righteous civil magistrates. What role does a magistrate play? What are the characteristics of a faithful civil magistrate? We also learn about the conceptions of liberty from the Word of God and the responsibility of citizens. And we learn from the Bible that we have a right to stand up against and to resist tyrannical rule. We also learn about the principles to self-govern ourselves. And many of our founders also saw in the Bible political and legal models that should be implemented, such as republicanism or the separation of powers and federalism and due process under law. Where do we think all those things came from?
Right.
And that's why the book of Deuteronomy is, you see the book of Deuteronomy and the great influence that it had all over our governing document. So the reality is that these other books did not shape Western civilization. Yeah. They did not. They were not a part of the influence that the Bible had upon our founding fathers. As a matter of fact, those books had no influence whatsoever upon our founding fathers. And not only that, it was the Bible that inspired individuals like William Wilberforce.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, we have, you know, we had men like Wilberforce and Lovejoy who fought, and Garrison, and these men who fought hard to abolish slavery. And what were they inspired by? What guided them toward that end? It was the Word of God. The Bible did that. The Quran did not do that. The Book of Mormon did not do that. Not any other religious book. It was the Bible that inspired these men. And it was because they realized that human nature. That all people
human
are created. Human dignity. All people are created in God's image. And therefore, slavery ought to be abolished. And so it was the Bible that did that. Okay? Not any other book. And so, of course, I'm for the Bible being back in school. I haven't even dealt with the theological significance of it, but I'll just say, you know, the Bible is authoritative, the Bible is sufficient, the Bible is inerrant and infallible, and all those truths have to be taken into consideration as well. For those who say, well, we don't need the Bible in school, because I've even heard some pastors say this, well, what if we put the Bible back in school and those who teach it have no understanding of it, and therefore they twist it. Listen, one of the attributes that I love about God is the aseity of God. That means that God is independent. God doesn't need anything. Now, God has chosen to use us as a means of proclaiming His Word. But God doesn't need us. And the Bible doesn't need us. It is the living and active, powerful Word of God. And it just needs to be let loose. God is able to watch over His Word and protect His Word and properly interpret His Word by His Spirit. And the Bible tells us that faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word. So the reality is that we were a Christian nation founded upon Christian principles. The Bible was a foundational, you know, it was a foundational, the Word of God, a foundational book in establishing our government and our founding documents. So, and it ought to be in school.
I mean,
if you're studying world history or American history, how can you teach, especially American history, without mm-hmm. without the Bible.
Yep.
So,
yep.
So yeah, I stand with Israel. I'm for the Bibles to get back in school. And I've got a lot of praying to do before this presidential election.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Well, that's good stuff. We just covered three topics that just honestly a lot of Christians have questions about. But then, unfortunately, some pastors shy away from.
Yeah.
So I appreciate the fact that you don't.
Yep. Well, we appreciate you tuning in. Please like, subscribe, share. And until we meet again, serve the King.